Sam, please come to order. Clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson. Atkinson. Bates. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist.
Father
Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. George. Gerard. Gerard. Hass. Hass. Johnson. Johnson. Cruz. Cruz. Metzger. Metzger. Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morissette. Morse. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Whitsett. Winters. President Courtney.
A quorum being present, we're going to post the colors, and Senator Jackie Winters will lead us in the pledge, please.
So you're ready to go?
I'm ready to
pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Today's invocation is by Father Rick Gans, Oregon Province of Jesuits in Portland.
Thank you. Good morning, senators and visitors to this place. As we say this prayer, I'd like to ask you if you would just shut your eyes for a moment and allow me to suggest three ways you might pray this prayer this morning. First one is this. I cannot imagine what it would be like as a senator to have 100,000 people that you look after. But I know that it's true that in your mind, when you form an image of Oregon and how you serve it, there are certain people that define what Oregon is and your affection for it and a desire to help this state. So perhaps you could remember some of those people out of that vast number over which you have care and be grateful for them. The second is this. Tomorrow, for almost 1,000 years, was New Year Day in the great Christian tradition. It was the day that the angel asked Mary if she would be willing to have a son, and the world was changed. And so perhaps you could think about ways in which you, in your distinguished careers and service, have had an ability to stand with those who are small and to be connected to them. and gratitude for those connections and how they change us. And the last one is simply in all the complexities of government that we all experience that are just part of the deal. It is wonderful to be able to see springtime and the inevitability of its procession toward fullness, and gratitude for predictable beauty in the world. So choosing one of those three ways to stand on this simple prayer, or another way that is on your mind, we pray. Loving God, thank you for this day exactly as it is. And we pray that by the time we get to night and our eyes are closed, no regrets, that we did the best we could and you made up where we missed. And when we missed, we thank you for the people that you sent to fill in for us and to make us better than we are when we stand alone. Bless this chamber, all the visitors who are here, and make it a good day for the state of Oregon. We place our trust in you always because you are trustworthy. Amen.
Thank you, Father Gans. I'd like to extend the courtesy of the Senate to Father Gans for his invocation. Thank you, Senator Winters, for allowing us to lead us in the pledge. Honorary Pages, Joyce Lonsdale, guest of Peter Courtney, Annie Scott, guest of Senator Bonamici, Molly Olson, guest of Senator Hoquist, Taylor Hazel, the guest of Senator Bates, Jefferson Chandler, the guest of Senator Devlin, Ryan Venata, the guest of Senator Winters, and Anna Lichman, the guest of Senator Rosenbaum. And Jason Bowe is here as a page. I don't know where Jason is. He's back there. I wanted to acknowledge you, Jason. Jason's grandfather, the late Senator Jason Bowe, presiding officer, president of the Oregon State Senate, Jason Bowe. If you go down the first floor, you'll see Jason Bowe Memorial Senate Wing. So, Jason, it was your grandfather, Jason, that allowed us to expand this Capitol. He was the first state senator in the history of the state of Oregon to ever be the presiding officer of the president for four successive sessions. So we want to go out of our way to welcome you here. And I know you miss your grandfather. I know your father, Brian Bowe, misses him. So, Jason, we're very pleased you could be here, as well as all the pages that I've just introduced. All the pages. That not only are you our guest, and we're pleased that you could be here. You help us through the different things you're doing today to get through our session and get through the day. So it's always an honor for us to have pages here. We rely on you. You're very special to us. You're the leaders of tomorrow. So please have a great day in your state capitol. Come back and see us again. And I'd like to extend the courtesies of the Senate to all the pages that I have introduced here today. Thank you for coming here. Okay, we're basically now we go to courtesies, and I'd like to recognize Senator Bruce Starr, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. You extended courtesies of the Senate to my good friend, Father Rick Gans, as he did our invocation this morning. I'd just like to recognize Father Gans. He served many young people in the Beaverton area.
Thank you. Go ahead, please.
He served many young people in the Beaverton area for years at Jesuit High School, impacted young people's lives in an amazing and tremendous way. He then served for a period of time at Gonzaga. Again, the ministry of Father Gans goes long and deep. Tremendous man, has had an impact in my life that I don't know that he understands, quite honestly, Mr. President. So I'd just like to have the courtesies again of the Senate extended to my good friend, Father Gans. He has now taken a position at Merrillhurst University, again, continuing to serve our community in Oregon, and Oregon is better off for it. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. I recognize Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Are you doing the Gelke students in Monica?
Well, I did not know the Gelke. Let me do this. I did not know that there were interns today on the floor from Gelke Middle School. I believe it's the middle school. 7th and 8th graders. They were here last Friday. I know that, but they were here. Thank you, Senator Burdick. Senator Burdick has come up to me at the podium and informed me that there is another group of interns from that great elementary school, Gilkey Middle School, 7th and 8th graders. I'm getting, thank you. Thank you for helping me, as body language. And I think you're seated at the respective senator's desk that you are an intern for. See, I'm looking at you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for helping me, because I'm needing some help up here. To each and every one of you, some of your classmates were here last week, did a wonderful job for us as interns. We really look forward to it. And you really helped each senator that you were an intern for. And I know that each one of you interns here today will do the same. So it's a great learning experience for you, but it's also a great learning experience for us senators that you're here. So it's a real honor and privilege that your elementary school would set up this program. It's most importantly, it's a real honor and privilege that each one of you is an intern here today with us to help make our day better and to help make your state better by you being here. So you have a good day here, and I'd like to extend the Senate courtesies to each and every one of you. And thank you, Senator Nelson, and thank you, Senator Burdick, as well as Senator Bonamici and others with your body language to let me know what was going on up here. Thank you very much. Senator Farioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. At the risk of belaboring the courtesies to the Gilkey Middle School students, I've just been meeting with Maggie Wyrick, who's here at my desk. She's an eighth grader. She has no hobbies. And I found that to be quite remarkable for a student at Gilkey Middle School, so I asked a couple questions about that, why she has no hobbies. Maggie studies French, Spanish, and English. She's trilingual, has A's in French and Spanish. She is a math and science student. She has A's in math and science. She has two sisters, Elizabeth and Emma, which keep her busy. But she has no hobbies. She does like ballet, and she dances with the Oregon Ballet Theater. And most recently, she participated in 18 performances of the Nutcracker in December. She danced as a grandchild, a Chinese tea, and a candy cane. She has no hobbies. Mr. President, I'd like you to extend courtesies to Maggie Wyrick, who is possibly headed for the Juilliard School in ballet. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Farioli, I believe I've extended courtesies to each one of the Gilkey interns today, so I would like to again extend courtesies to each and every one of you. Thank you, Senator Farioli. Recognize Senator Jackie Dingfelder, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to recognize first grade teacher Bonnie Robb. She's here today from the Binsmead Portland Public School, and she's been selected as a recipient of the Milken Family Foundation National Educator Award, which is a very prestigious award. I would like to welcome her to the Capitol. I'm hoping she's here. I know she was going to be on the House side as well. And please give a warm welcome to teacher Bonnie Robb. Thank you.
Thank you. Teacher Bonnie Robb, I don't think you're here. At least I don't think you're here. But wherever you are, we'd like to extend the courtesy of the Oregon State Senate to you. Congratulations on your honor. You know, where would we be in our life and our style and civilization without great teachers? Great teachers is the name of the game. And so, Bonnie, great job. I hope you get the word that we're extending the official courtesies of the State Senate to you. Thank you, Senator Dingfelder. Recognize Senator Carter, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Joining me at my desk today is the mother of Jason and a former student of mine at Portland Community College, Arlene Bowe. And Arlene is a very, very talented woman, went on to leave Portland Community College to have a degree in communications. She's now with the Ryan Artist, which is a talent agency, and she has been playing, her biggest role was with Music Within, and the star of that was Ron Livingston with Michael Sheen, and it was shot in Oregon. So she's a very, very busy woman, I'm sure, Mr. Bowe. Is very, very challenged by having such a talented wife and son. Thank you. Please welcome Ms. Arlene Bowe.
Thank you. Arlene, thank you very much for coming on the floor. It's an honor and a privilege to have you here, to have the Bowe family here. And I want to extend the courtesies of the Senate to you. Hope you have a great day in the Capitol. Please come back and see us again. Any more courtesies? All right, Senator Carter. Senator Burdick, Senator Frank Morris, it's Senator Whitsitt's birthday, so it's time to go over make it. Senator Whitsitt, would you please stand up? It's the way it goes. And I don't know if Senator Farriola is going to join. They're going to sing happy birthday to Senator Doug Whitsitt. Today is his birthday. And so you may lead us in that now. Here we go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Doug. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Senator Morris. Thank you, Senator Burdick. Thank you, Senator Carter, for leading us in a birthday song to Senator Doug Whitsitt. We'll remonstrances. Recognize Senator Jeff Cruz, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. That very stirring prayer we had this morning actually got me to thinking, and the constituents of mine who are in my mind right now are the people in Douglas, Coos, and Curry counties who have recently lost their jobs. And colleagues, what they are asking of us is not a government handout. What they are asking of us is to allow our economy to grow again so they can get their jobs back. So colleagues, our job is not to fund government. Our job is to help fix the economy.
Further remonstrances? Message from the House.
Mr. President, I'm speaking from the House. Passed.
Well, go ahead. Finish.
Has passed. House bills 2560, 2759, 2822, 2871, 2386. Senate bills 286, 370. Concurred in Senate amendments and repassed House bill 2065. And the Speaker has signed House bills 2250, 2251, House Joint Resolution 10.
Senator Jackie Winters, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, to return to remonstrance, please.
Without objection, we return to the order of remonstrances.
Thank you, Mr. President. The sesquicentennial history minute is from the Oregon Historical Society's online educational resources, the Oregon History Project, and the Oregon Time Web. In 1920, John A. Buchanan and Henry B. Murtaugh won an Oregon State Song Contest state with their entry, and I know you like this, Mr. President, Oregon, My Oregon. The Society of Oregon Composers, which sponsored the competition, then planned a campaign to promote the song around the state through performances of all male and all female quartets at schools, universities, and public gathering halls. The state superintendent of public instruction also endorsed the song. In 1927, the Oregon State Legislature officially selected Oregon, My Oregon as the state song. Buchanan, an Astoria city judge, wrote the words, and Murtaugh, a professional musician, composed the music. Many Oregon youth learned the song in their grade school classes, including myself. The lyrics of the song glorify Oregon, its settlement history, and its unique landscape. Land of the empire builders, land of the Golden West, conquered and held by free men, fairest and the best. Onward and upward ever, forward and on, hail to these land of the heroes, my Oregon. Land of the rose and sunshine, land of the summer breeze, laden with health and vigor, fresh from the western seas, blessed by the blood of martyrs, land of the setting sun, hail to thee, land of promise, my Oregon.
Thank you, Senator Winters. We will now turn to the regular order of Senate business. Reports from conference committees, reports from standing committees. In accordance with SR 8.551, committee report summary number 43 was distributed to members March 20th, and number 44 and 45 were distributed today. This information will be recorded in the Journal of State's report and is so ordered. Reports from special committees, propositions and motions. Act, recognize Senator Farrioli.
Mr. President, you were a little quick on the gavel on remonstrances. Can we, without objection, return to the order of business of remonstrance?
Without objection, to return to the order of remonstrances.
Mr. President, like many of our members, I went into the district on Monday and had an opportunity to meet with people in rural communities who are experiencing 20 to 25% unemployment. Colleagues, the number you've heard is about half of that. But in rural communities, we really do have a serious problem with unemployment. I know that you know this. I heard from some folks in Burns, Oregon. I was there for the mobilization of the 141st, which is looking at its third tour in Iraq in 4 years. As we met with the troops to mobilize that unit, I understood from folks in the community that the largest private employer in Burns, Oregon is the Safeway store. Mr. President, if we're the first wagon on the Oregon Trail, it looks like we'll be eating our oxen and maybe even our shoe leather before this is over. The bottom line is this is about what we are doing in this building, not to raise taxes, but to create employment, particularly in rural communities. It's not about maintaining government spending so much as it is about creating jobs. That's what Oregonians are worried about today, jobs. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. We'll now turn to the regular order of business. Again, I'm not sure I covered it, so I'll go again on the propositions and motions. Acts and executive appointments requiring Senate confirmation. Introduction to first reading of Senate measures. Second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Concurrence 6, Memorial Burn Code, 1925 to 2008. Senate Bill 167, Limited Participation in Self-Pay Groups, Benefit Plans, Minister of PERS. Senate Bill 220, Related Administration of Crime Victims Unit Funds in Department of Justice Crime Victim Services Division. Senate Bill 238, Related Proceedings. Senate Bill 356, Related Physical Forfeiture and Appropriate Money in Court Emergency. Senate Bill 401, Related Conditional Release. Senate Bill 469, Related Business Activities Connected by Minors. Senate Bill 558, Related Commercial Transactions, Government Uniform Commercial Code.
Now these are passed to the calendar. Recognize Senator Devlin, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Democrats request a 15-minute caucus in their caucus room.
Senator Farioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Republicans likewise need to caucus in our caucus room. And, Mr. President, the Gilkey Middle School assistants are welcome to join us in our caucus this morning. So, Senators, bring your shadows to caucus. Thank you.
Senate will now stand in recess until 5 minutes to 11. 5 minutes to 11. The Senate will stand in recess until 5 minutes to 11 a.m. this morning. Good job, Horace. The Senate will please come to order. And would the clerk please call the roll?
Atkinson. Bates. Bates. Bonamici. Bonamici. Boquist. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Dingfelder. Farioli. Farioli. George. George. Gerard. Hass. Hass. Johnson. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Metzger. Mons Anderson. Mons Anderson. Monroe. Monroe. Morissette. Morissette. Morse. Morse. Nelson. Przonsky. Przonsky. Rosenbaum. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Schrader. Starr. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Winters. President Courtney.
He's here. A quorum is present. We're back. Senator Carter, do you want to come on the floor here and do something? I know what you want to do. Let's just do this, please. Without objection, we're going to turn the order of courtesies because, Senator Carter, I believe... Or do you want me to do it?
I'd like to return to courtesies.
You want me to do it?
No, sir.
Well, maybe I want to do it.
Well...
All right, Senator Carter.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. Today, my very distinguished guest has served Oregon over a very long period of time. She was first elected to city council in West Lynn, and from that, she came to be a state legislator. And we were roommates from the time that she served in the legislature until she left and went to become West Lynn's county commissioner, where she served gallantly and then ran for U.S. Congress and won. And won overwhelmingly. She has served with distinction these 10 years now, 10?
12.
12 years, and has decided to retire and come back home to live with us in Oregon. And she's the mother of two children and travels with Margaret Carter a lot, where we have fun across the country. And she has been my dear friend for these many years. So, Mr. President, even with all the talk of our colleagues on the floor,
we're trying to introduce a former colleague as well as a former member of Congress who represented Oregon. Thank you very much. Go ahead, please, Margaret. Go ahead.
Phew, I didn't know I was talking so loud. Thank you for giving respect to our guest today as I introduce the retired Congresswoman from Westland, Oregon, Congresswoman Darlene Hooley.
Yes, thank you, Senator Carter. We're very pleased. Go. Thank you, Senator Carter. Thank you, Congresswoman, County Commissioner, State Representative, and Westland Counselor, for all the service you've given over the years to Oregon. And I also particularly want to thank you for coming back to be part of our Oregon family. I knew you would come back. And I know you're going to be close to your children. Chad, the daughter's name is Chad. What's the daughter, your daughter's name?
Aaron.
Chad and Aaron, right? I'm right on that. I know how important it is for you to be around them and to be back in Oregon. And also, I'm very glad you're back because of all the people I've ever served with, you have the most outgoing, happy face, smiling personality of anybody I've ever served with. And I don't know how you did it because it's not always easy to do that in this business. But you did it all the times I knew with you. I served with you in 81 and 83. You forgot that over in the House. But you've done a great job. I'm glad you're back. And I know you're very close to Senator Carter. You two are very good friends. And you need to stay close to her because she needs a lot of help. And so I would hope that you would work with her this session as well as afterwards. So it's great to have you back, Darlene. It's an honor and privilege to have the Senate floor, really. And so you're smiling like usual. You're always smiling. And so I'd like to extend the courtesy of the Senate to you. Thank you very much. Okay. We'll now return to the regular order of business. The Senate recessed following the order of second reading of Senate measures and will resume under the third reading of Senate measures. It is so ordered. And I will ask the clerk to please read the bill.
Senate Joint Memorial 11, urging Congress to fund cleanup efforts at Hanford Nuclear Reservation.
Recognize Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President, members of the Senate. I rise in support of Senate Joint Resolution 11, which comes to you from the Senate Environment Committee with unanimous recommendation due pass. Senate Joint Memorial 11 urges the United States Congress to provide stable and sufficient funding for the Hanford nuclear site and directs the United States Department of Energy to expedite efforts to protect the Columbia River. All of you know that Hanford is a decommissioned nuclear production site located in southeast Washington. The site sits on 586 square miles of land, with approximately 50 miles of it running along the Columbia River. Hanford was acquired in 1943 for a secret wartime project, as we all know, called the Manhattan Project. When the site became operational in 1945, it became the world's largest full-scale plutonium production facility. The plutonium produced at Hanford was used in the atomic bomb that was dropped over Nagasaki,
Production at Hanford expanded during the Cold War. Most of the plutonium used in the U.S. nuclear arsenal was produced at Hanford. The manufacturing of plutonium has left the area polluted with radioactive waste. Hanford is the most contaminated area in the United States. More than 1,900 waste sites have been identified, including 177 underground storage tanks that hold 53 million gallons of highly radioactive and chemically hazardous waste. Cleanup at Hanford began 20 years ago, and its progress, approximately one-third of that cleanup, is now complete. The Oregon-Hanford Cleanup Board was established in 1987 to represent the state in this project. The Cleanup Board considers and advocates cleanup policies that protect Oregon's interests from the hazards posed by Hanford. It is important for the safety of Oregonians that the project receives sufficient funding from the federal government. Due to the soil contamination of nearly 200 square miles of groundwater in the area, any delays can lead to further contamination of the soil and potential contamination of the Columbia River. While progress has been made since cleanup began, the site continues to pose a serious threat to Oregon's agricultural, recreational, aquatic, and human population. This is not the first memorial we have sent to Congress urging this action, or will it be the last? The legislature needs to be dedicated to sending continued memorials pressuring Congress to fulfill its obligation to clean up Hanford.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. I recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I appreciate and applaud the carrier for bringing SJM 11. I rise in support of the bill. When I served as the Oregon representative to the Oregon-Hanford Cleanup Board, one of the most distressing things of my legislative career was the orientation to the litany of pollution and misery that has been created at Hanford. When we developed the nuclear capability that helped us win World War II, it was done with the moral equivalency of war. In fact, colleagues, it was war. And so standards were relaxed or didn't exist, because if you remember, this was during the early days of the nuclear age. As time went on, however, as we learned more about the potential for radioactive pollution in the Hanford Reach and in the soils and in the equipment and materials that were used to create enriched uranium and other derivatives, we continued to run off liquid from the holding tanks into open trenches, to allow the groundwater to become contaminated, to continue to store nuclear and radioactive waste in single-walled tanks, most of which have failed, contaminating the groundwater with materials that have a half-life of an incredible, almost incalculable period of time. When I asked what a half-life was, I was told it was 250,000 years. And there are multiple half-lives for some of the materials that are there, multiple. So, colleagues, when we ask for the cleanup to be done, it needs to be done with the moral equivalency of war. We have to get out of the mess the same way we got into it. It's going to cost a lot of money and cause a lot of expenditure of dollars. But, folks, all of us, every one of us, are downriver or downstream or downwind of Hanford. And Portland is, and Oregonians' lives are affected by the runoff from the Hanford Reach. Colleagues, many of you now support the new technology for developing nuclear power, and many of you are supporting it as the cleanest, least expensive, greenest technology. And I will suggest to you, if you believe that's true, that the debt that you owe to your children is to help clean up the mess that we made learning how to make nuclear power safe. Again, I would like to just appreciate the carrier for bringing SJM 11. We have done this resolution before. I've carried it. We've unanimously passed it almost every other time that it's been offered. And I think it's appropriate that we had a visit from our congressman today, because those are the folks that we're sending this message to Congress, to renew their commitment to cleaning up Hanford. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Ferrioli. I recognize Senator Dave Nelson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I am too rise in support of this bill, but I just want to make the body aware of the fact that the Hanford Nuclear Reservation is not just this barren waste out there. They support one of the largest elk herds that you'll find in the state of Oregon, plethora of wildlife and animals. There are some very serious problems out there, but it's just not this wasteland because there are a lot of growing and active flora and fauna, vegetation and animals in the area. So with that, I would support the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion? Senator Devlin, do you wish to close? He does not. Question on rise upon the third reading and final passage, SJM 11. Those opinion bills are passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prozonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
These SJM 11 average chief constable majority declared passed. Clerk will please read the bill.
Senate Bill 41, related education service districts.
Recognize Senator Jeff Cruz, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 41 deals with some technical changes that needed to be made in the pilot ESD project that was passed in this legislative assembly in 2005. What we did is we created three pilot ESDs under a new governance structure. And what we found out in the interim was that there was some glitches in law that needed to be corrected to make sure that the boards could be seated and that there was a direct process for elections, for recalls, a whole lot of other things that most boards need to have that we had missed in that. This bill also renames the pilots to shared governance ESDs, and it also puts in law a process for any ESD to go to this new governance structure if they choose. Colleagues, this bill has nothing to do with the reorganization of ESDs and those other ESD issues that are probably going to be before this legislative assembly. This only deals with the three pilot ESDs we created and allows their governance model to move forward in an orderly fashion. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator Cruz. Further discussion? Question now rise upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 41. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Hass.
It's Hass.
Senator Hass.
Johnson.
Yes.
Cruz. Metzger. Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, President Courtney, not answering, Hass, 30 ayes.
Senate Bill 41, having received constant majority, declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 146, relating to State Board of Massage Therapists.
Recognize Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that consideration of Senate Bill 146 be taken from its place on today's calendar and placed on the Thursday, March 26th calendar.
Senator Cruz has moved the consideration of Senate Bill 146 be taken from its place on today's calendar and placed on the Thursday, March 26th calendar. Your motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. It appears that we need more time as a body to get our hands on this issue or our hands off this issue, depending upon your opinion.
Question is on taking SB 146 from today's calendar and placing it on Thursday's March 26th calendar. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Aye. And those opposed, no. The motion has carried. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 239, Religious Notice is required for foreclosures of trustees and court emergency.
Recognize Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 239 comes to us from the Oregon State Bar debtor-creditor section. It passed from the Judiciary Committee unanimously. This bill makes two changes relating to the new notice that was created in 2008 under House Bill 3630, which is also known as the Foreclosure Rescue Protection Act. Under the 2008 bill, a trustee conducting a nonjudicial trust deed foreclosure must send out a plain language notice to the grantor of a residential trust deed, or in other words, the homeowner, no later than the notice of sale. Unfortunately, the 2008 bill did not provide for any way for title companies and third parties to know whether the trustee had actually complied with the new law and given the notice. Senate Bill 239 requires a trustee giving the notice to record an affidavit of mailing the notice with a copy attached in the manner that the trustee is required to record other affidavits. The 2008 law also provides that the homeowner who did not receive the notice has a right to raise this issue indefinitely. This has the effect of clouding title to the property. Senate Bill 239 will allow the foreclosed grantor, the homeowner, a period of 60 days after the purchaser takes possession of the property to notify the trustee, purchaser, beneficiary, or any loan servicer that the grantor did not receive the notice. Senate Bill 239 will improve existing law, providing certainty for titles to foreclosed properties while avoiding unnecessary judicial actions to remove the cloud on the title created by the failure to give the notice. I urge and I vote on Senate Bill 239. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Bonamici. Discussion. Question now, I find 30 and final passage of Senate Bill 239. Those opinion bills passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montez Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick.
Senator Burdick? Move on.
Carter.
Aye.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
Senate Bill 239, having received a constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 277, limited access to toilet facilities.
Recognize Senator Floyd Brzezinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Bill 277 came out of your Judiciary Committee on a 4-0 vote. What this is going to allow is individuals that suffer certain medical conditions to be able to use a private restroom, one that would be for employees, where it is a place of accommodations and a public restroom is not available, and they have a medical condition that requires them to use a facility sooner than the other one may come available. There are some other safeguards and protections for employers, but this is a bill that will, in fact, assist those individuals who have a medical condition that need to use a restroom facility. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion? Question now rise upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 277. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, President Courtney,
yes.
30 ayes.
The Senate Bill 277 has received constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 344, Berlin County Officers.
Recognize Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the consideration of Senate Bill 344 be taken from its place on today's calendar and placed on Thursday, March 26th calendar.
Question. The Senator George has moved the consideration of Senate Bill 344 be taken from its place on today's calendar and placed on the Thursday, March 26th calendar. To your motion, please.
Mr. President, we need additional time to survey the political landscape and assess ideas to make this even a more good government bill.
Question is on taking Senate Bill 344 from its today's calendar and placing on Thursday's March 26th meeting. All those in favor of the motion will signify by saying aye. Aye. And those opposed, no. This motion is carried. Clerk reads the bill.
Senate Bill 391, relating to Xavier Mills.
Senator Boquist, he's not here. He is here.
Thank you, Mr. President. Nature called. Mr. President, 391 comes for Committee on Environment and Natural Resources. No revenue impact, minimal fiscal. I think many of you know this is the third session. The Odd Couple and I have brought something forward on this. I'll explain that in a minute. Just for your definition, an exotic animal is a non-indigenous species to the state of Oregon. What this bill does is adds crocodiles to the definition, removes any wolf from the definition, which I'll explain in a minute, exempts wildlife sanctuaries, law enforcement, and other organizations, and provides some other exemptions. I did mention the wolf, unintended consequences of legislation. It was raised in a committee, and we started discussing the issue of wolf, of all things, on this bill. And it came to our attention that the wolf is covered by the Federal Endangered Species Act, and therefore we didn't have the authority under the Department of Agriculture to regulate it. To fix that, we simply removed it. We would like to remove it and send it over to the Department of Fish and Wildlife, but as typical, the relating clause didn't allow us to do that. So we just removed it, and we're trying to fix that other portion of it. You would ask, of all things, because I get asked, you know, why is the Democrat and why is the Republican sponsoring this? And I will let my good cohort across the aisle explain his position. I would simply point out to you, most of you know my background. I've spent a considerable amount of time overseas doing duties for the U.S. government. And one of the things that has touched me is there is a $20 billion black market in exotic animals. The vast majority of that is exotic animals coming to this country here. They use the sale of those exotic animals under false export certificates, and they end up here, and they use that money to fund drug lords, rebel movements, so on and so forth. Most of my colleagues know I keep on my desk a list of people who did not come back and the numbers of people that did not come back. And this is one of those issues that's dear to my heart in preventing the sale of those exotic animals into the United States, mostly illegally, to prevent the deaths of our fellow service members and the deaths of other individuals in foreign countries. And it's for that reason that I've been the Odd Couple for three sessions in a row, and I'll let my distinguished co-carrier speak.
Thanks, Senator Boquist. For the discussion, recognize Senator Mark Hass.
Mr. President, like some of you, I was rather ambivalent, or maybe I should say for myself, rather uninformed about this particular issue until I got pulled into the story of Al the alligator. And this was about 5 years ago in Beaverton, where at one point someone had brought home a very cute little baby alligator that was not much larger than a lizard you see in pet stores. A few years later, however, Al had grown into a 4-foot-long snarling alligator. And one day, Al escaped from his subdivision in Beaverton. And that raises a few questions. What are police supposed to do in this situation? Well, in this case, they notified neighbors to bring in your cats and your dogs and your kids. And for a few terrifying days, Al was on the loose. And then he was spotted one day in a culvert, and fortunately, Al didn't chomp down any poodles. Unfortunately for Al, he was almost dead. And so that raises animal welfare issues, at least it did to me. But it's not over there, because if you're a Beaverton police officer, what are you supposed to do now? Well, law enforcement is not trained to deal with alligators or any of these other exotic animals. Where do they take him? Once they hoist him into the police van, where do they take him? There are no animal control facilities in the metro area of Portland that will take an alligator. Do they take him to the jail? What do they do? And it's for this reason that all law enforcement in Oregon strongly supports this bill. You heard the contents from my good friend from Polk County, but I should let you know that this bill is supported by the Oregon Zoo, Chimps Incorporated, the Humane Society of the United States of America, all law enforcement, the Veterinarians Association, and OMSI. Now, you may have heard from people who say, I am responsible, and I can take care of this dangerous animal responsibly. And there are those people out there. And I've talked to them, and I know them. But police officers and law enforcement will tell you that for every one of those, they can find dozens of stories and dozens of people where that's not the case, where untrained people who have no licensure, no credentials, take home these animals only to find that they can't deal with them. We had testimony from the Oregon Zoo, and the director said he gets these calls regularly where someone calls up and says, I'd like to sell you my wild serval or my alligator. And he says, well, we don't buy animals like that. And he says, okay, well, I'll donate my alligator to the zoo. Well, we don't do it like that either. Well, then can you tell me where would be a good place to release my alligator? Would it be Bybee Lake or Tryon Creek? Those are the kind of calls that come into the Oregon Zoo. These are the kind of calls that go into your local sheriff's deputies literally hundreds of times a year. This is a reasonable measure. It has been changed to meet many of the concerns from opponents, including snakes. Snakes are not included in this bill because of so many science teachers and so many science projects of young people. People who own these animals now are grandfathered in, if you will. They will not have to give up these animals. They just will not be able to replace them once those animals pass on. And hybrid cats, which is a very popular category of exotic animals under 50 pounds, would not be affected by this bill. So, colleagues, this bill offers a helping hand to some of God's creatures, great and small, and I truly hope that you'll agree with me that this bill, that wild animals belong in the wild. They don't belong in a basement in Beaverton.
Thank you, Senator Hatch. Recognize Senator Arden, please.
I'm okay.
Not going to do it. Recognize Senator Dingfelder, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Question of the carrier from West Valley.
With the carrier,
senator from West Valley.
Okay, I just want to make sure I had the right carrier. Would the carrier respond, please?
Mr. President, can I answer the question? I already know what it is.
Will you answer? You will take the question?
Yes, sir.
He will respond.
Thank you, Mr. President. The good senator from West Valley, are zebra included in this bill? Would they be considered an exotic pet?
Mr. President, Madam Chair, I'm glad you're not wearing a real zebra coat instead of it's just a cloth coat. We are not changing anything under the zebra statutes of Oregon at this point that I'm aware of.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Telfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to declare a conflict of interest.
Please state your conflict. Potential, please.
Potential. Senator Hass, in his very eloquent narrative, just mentioned Chimps Incorporated. They are a client of mine.
Thank you. Your potential conflict of interest is noted and has been placed on the record regarding Senate Bill 391. Further discussion? Senator Boquist, you wish to close? Okay. Senate Bill, okay. Question now rises upon third reading and final passage. Senate Bill 391. Those opinion the bill shall pass say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prozonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no, Girard, Cruz, 28 ayes.
The Senate Bill 391, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. I have no idea what I did. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 438, written regulation of credit unions, declaring emergency.
Recognize Senator Metzger, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Oregon's 83 credit unions are not-for-profit financial institutions created to meet the needs of their members. To become members, individuals must meet eligibility requirements within each credit union's field of membership. The three possible fields of membership are occupational, community, and organizational. Credit unions can change from one membership field to another. For example, one credit union converted from occupational to community membership. SB 438A modifies the definition of organization for purposes of determining credit union membership so that a credit union that converts from one field to another can continue to serve members from their previous field. SB 438 makes other technical changes to the statutes governing the operation of credit unions. For example, it requires that a credit manager, if appointed in lieu of a credit committee, be appointed by the credit union board of directors. Credit union deposits are insured by the National Credit Union Administration, currently to the amount of $250,000. To provide additional security, SB 438A increases minimum fidelity bond amounts in line with guidelines established by the Federal National Credit Union Administration. And I urge an aye vote.
Thank you. For the discussion, question I rise upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 438. Those in opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
Senate Bill 438, having received custom majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 596, relating to decarbonated diphenyl ether.
Recognize Senator Hass.
Mr. President, the bill before you today will leave Oregon's environment cleaner and Oregonians healthier. Since the 1960s, polybrominated diphenyl ether, or PBDEs, have been widely used in flame retardants. There are three types of those chemicals commercially available. In 2005, the legislature banned two of those, penta-BBD and octa-BDD. During the last 4 years, the verdict on DECA-BDE is in, and the EPA has registered it as a possible carcinogen, and the scientific community overwhelmingly has classified it as a dangerous chemical that has bioaccumulative effects. In other words, it accumulates in fish, birds, and humans. It's this bioaccumulative effect, according to scientists, that make it disturbingly like DDT, which we all know was banned some 30 years ago. PBDEs are used in mattresses, upholstery, furniture, and many other places. Over time, this chemical is released into the air and enters as dust or vapor. PBDEs have been detected in outdoor and indoor air, sewage, sludge, soil, rivers, sediments, and certain foods. Basically, they're everywhere. For this reason, doctors, nursing mothers, scientists, and remarkably, firefighters all testified to the need of banning DECA. Think about firefighters for a sec. How bad must this chemical be for firefighters to actively support a ban on a chemical used in a flame retardant? Well, firefighters have come to the same conclusion as the medical community, that there's a bigger risk in health problems with this chemical than there is in fire problems without it. And fortunately, there are now alternatives to this chemical that do not pose health hazards and work every bit as well. In particular, a phosphate-based chemical called RDP, which is now being used by many, many companies. Among them, IKEA, Dell, Hewlett-Packard, Apple, and Boeing, all voluntarily ceased using DECA out of concern for its negative effects. And small companies, too. An Ashland, Oregon-based outdoor manufacturer, Massif Mountain Gear, is using alternatives to DECA and is thriving. They've had no loss of business and no loss of jobs after they switched chemicals. Colleagues, there is one opponent to this legislation, the chemical industry. Understandably, they don't like this bill because they make this product and sell it, and this legislation threatens those sales. But I don't believe the chemical industry is looking out for the best interests of Oregonians. I believe that's our job. And finally, this bill has been moderated. The effective date has been delayed a year from the original so that it goes into effect the same day as the state of Washington, which passed this bill recently. And it allows used products like computers to be traded, bought, and sold. It includes exemptions for many other products, including cars and planes, and it does not outlaw current products. No one will have to get rid of their furniture or anything else they own. So I respectfully ask you today to side not with the chemical industry, but with Oregonians in protecting their health and their environment.
Thank you. I recognize Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll be voting no on this bill. All of us have great concern for anything that could be a possible carcinogen. But when it comes to fire safety, this is an immediate threat to the lives of all of our family members. And the idea that you would take away a fire retardant that could give people the opportunity to escape from a fire from immediate danger concerns me. Only two states have adopted legislation in this area, Maine and Washington. Maine's bill exempts almost all major uses of DECA, and the practical effect of the bill is non-existent. The Washington bill exempts most uses of DECA and only becomes effective if and when a safer alternative to DECA is identified and approved by the State Departments of Ecology and Health by a special fire safety panel. The National Association of State Fire Marshals oppose calls for the DECA phase-out. And the fact is that I think all of us have very good intentions, regardless of how we vote on this. The question is that do you vote to ban a product that has real-life safety implications on people today, saving lives in fires today? One of the reasons why there was carve-outs in the bill is because we as a body recognize how important DECA is in fire prevention in cars. But that applies to all types of products. And if you think about the ramifications of this particular potential legislation is, we should definitely study this, but this is not the time to eliminate a very vital fire retardant when we do not have a credible replacement for that fire retardant. And I just will tell you this, is that as somebody who works in agriculture, natural resources, one of the biggest threats you have is trying to make sure that when you're in an industrial area that you have ways to protect your employees from fire. And when you think about the opportunity that we could ban a product that could save lives because there could potentially be some kind of ramification in the future, I think that the threat, today's threat, is much more important until we study the issue further. So I'll be voting no. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator George. Recognize Senator Montes Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in support of this bill, Senate Bill 596. It is time to eliminate DECA from the products used in Oregon, if we're going to do what's right. Many studies are shown that we are, over time, this has been used since the 60s, and over time there has been an increasing buildup. And we're talking about a carcinogen, a potential carcinogen. It's even been found in breast milk. And when are we going to say, all right, let's get rid of it? We can't keep having study after study. In 2005, Representative Vicky Berger and I sponsored a bill very similar to this, and we were able to eliminate Penta and Octa. We were not able to eliminate DECA at that point in time because industry said we need more study. That was 4 years ago, colleagues, and in that time they say we need to study it more. Well, the state of Washington has studied it, and their report does say that it is not... it is a potential carcinogen, and we should be banning it. And, colleagues, the same alternatives that were on the market back in 2005 are the same ones that are on the market today, and they have been studied, and they are found to be working just as effectively as DECA. RDP, which is resorcinol bidiphenylphosphate, it works as effectively as a faint flame retardant and is less toxic and less persistent than the DBDE. It's almost universally preferred as a safe and viable alternative to DECA. This alternative was in existence back in 2005, yet the chemical industry said, well, no, let's study it more. Well, here we are, 2009, they're still not using the safe alternatives. So, colleagues, we have to take a stand and say that, yes, we are going to eliminate DECA, and, yes, there are safe alternative methods that can be used. Washington has passed it. Maine has passed it. And another argument back in 2005 was that the European Union hadn't passed legislation. Well, believe it or not, the European Union has now banned DECA. And so we were waiting for all of these things to happen. Well, they've all happened since 2005. Therefore, there's no reason for us to wait any longer, and we need to pass Senate Bill 596. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Walker.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in support of this legislation, and I have to tell you, I took a lot of time to get there. Because I was not in committee and needed to review the information. I have now done so. My brother is a deputy fire marshal in the state of Washington and served on the front lines with his colleagues for many years before becoming a fire marshal. And I contacted him last week and also contacted the Washington State Council of Firefighters and discussed this issue at length with them. They sent me information, and I also did some more research on the web, my staff did, and Mr. President, this is bad stuff. The International Association of Firefighters' position is clearly that they support an entire ban of all bromine-based flame retardants. I was given some information that they supported a study through NIST. Well, they support a study on the national level, but not to question whether to ban bromine-based chemical retardants, these kind of retardants. They support a study simply to, and I quote, further eliminate the rhetoric from opponents to legislation prohibiting the further use of unsafe fire retardants. These folks simply want to get to the bottom of the matter and make sure that everyone understands why it's important to ban the final piece of these flame retardants. Additionally, I asked if these were flame retardants that were used to fight forest fire because I did not want to impede our ability to do so. I was given the information that the flame retardant used on forest fires, primarily the orange-looking liquid dropped from airplanes, is called PhosCheck. And this is an almost entirely phosphate-based flame retardant with other surfactants to help impregnate the surface and suppress the fire. So it is clear we don't even need DECA in fighting forest fires. Washington State had done a ban. They did it, however, with the fact that they wanted to, the ban would not take place until they found an alternative to using DECA. Well, there again, I did my research, and in December, Washington State met with their State Department of Ecology and others and determined, yes, indeed, there is an alternative. So the ban is now official in the state of Washington. So, Mr. President, I've done my homework. I've read the material, and I find that when PBDEs burn, they release dense fumes and black smoke that reduces visibility and a highly corrosive gas known as hydrogen bromide. And they produce highly toxic byproducts of incomplete combustion. And this is information from the firefighters, and I trust this information. And, Mr. President, I'm a strong believer in women being able to breastfeed their children, and this is showing up in breast milk, and this is not acceptable. So I support this bill today. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Walker. Further discussion? Senator Hatch, do you wish to close?
Mr. President, I appreciate this debate here. I just want to clarify a few issues. First, fire safety is not threatened, according to credible firefighting groups from the Oregon Association of Firefighters to their national association. In fact, I find it remarkable that firefighters think this chemical is so bad that they would come out for a ban on a chemical used in flame retardants. It has been studied, as you heard from the previous senator, and the conclusion is it is a possible carcinogen, according to the EPA. Colleagues, this bill will send an important signal that even in these difficult economic times, we are still watching over the environment with a historic stewardship for which Oregon is well known, and I respectfully ask for your support.
Question number five, final third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 596. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Johnson. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick.
Senator Burdick.
Carter. Devlin. Dinkfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Hass. President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no, Carter, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Cruz, Nelson, Telfer, Whitsett. 22 ayes.
Senate Bill 596, having received a constant majority, is declared passed. First reading is House Measures.
House Bill 2386, related voter registration, recording emergency. House Bill 2560, related county clerk recording of instruments. House Bill 2759, related recordation of instruments and county records. House Bill 2822, related ways of necessity for private sewer lines. House Bill 2871, related reinstatement fee.
Transmitted to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of the House Measures.
HJM 2, urging Congress to enact legislation assisting veterans' employment. HJM 4, urging Congress to pass legislation transition to National Guard and Reserves Civilian Life Volume Active Service. House Bill 2495, related to records of state accident insurance fund corporation, acquired emergency.
These are passed to the calendar. Third reading of the House Measures. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2061, related to graduation requirements, acquired emergency.
Recognize Senator Hass.
Mr. President, this is a very significant education bill. It is simple yet significant, which will allow students to complete their makeup credits this summer to receive their high school diploma. This is for those kids who are one or two credits short and need their summer school to finish and graduate. Without this bill and with the new rules, these students may find themselves, instead of one or two credits, having to get four or five. It is like lengthening the field just before someone scores a touchdown. So this is a huge disincentive to completing school if we don't pass this bill. It passed the House easily and is a high priority by your school district superintendents, and I urge your support.
Thank you, Senator Hass. Further discussion? Question now rises upon the third reading and final passage of House Bill 2061. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Cruz. Metzger. Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dinkfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Hass, Johnson, President Courtney,
yes.
30 ayes. House Bill 2336, will do impeachment witnesses.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2336 is filed at the request of the Oregon District Attorneys Association, passed the House 52-0, Senate Judiciary 5-0. Currently, prior convictions of a witness who is to testify in a criminal proceeding may be introduced into evidence only if they are felony convictions occurring within the last 15 years or misdemeanors involving crimes of dishonesty. These convictions can be introduced to attack the witness's credibility. House Bill 2336 would allow convictions in another jurisdiction, such as an out-of-state conviction for a statutory counterpart to Oregon statutes, to be admissible in order to impeach the witness's credibility. As an example, if Washington statute for assault 4 is found to be a statutory counterpart to Oregon's assault 4, then the witness's Washington conviction of assault 4 could be introduced to impeach the witness's credibility. This bill has no revenue impact and no physical impact. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator Whitson. Discussion? The question now rises upon a third reading and final passage of House Bill 2336. Those the opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morris. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson. Atkinson.
Senator Atkinson?
Yes. Bates. Bates.
Senator Bates?
Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard. Girard. Hass. Hass.
Senator Hass.
Johnson. Cruz. President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
House Bill 2336, having received a constitutional majority, declared passed. Other business of the Senate, according to the SR 8.403 committee referral list 80, was distributed to the members March 20th, and number 81 was distributed today. This information, the referrals will be recorded in the journal and the stage report. It is so ordered. Announcements? Sir Devlin, any announcements?
Thank you, Mr. President. Just so Senate Democrats know, there is no caucus today, but the leadership group will be meeting in 20 minutes.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Ferrioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Republicans will be meeting in our noon caucus, so please get your lunches and repair immediately to the Republican caucus room on the third floor. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Any further announcements? If there are no further announcements, and without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 10:15 tomorrow, Wednesday, March 25th. The Senate is adjourned.